WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. If you've been listening out on the AM 1570 airwaves, you know we did a lot of political stuff this week. Obviously, got the election. I want everybody to vote. We're also going to be getting out on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour in a couple of weeks, beginning August 1st. 31 crab cakes, 31 breweries all over the state of Maryland. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill. I'm sporting my Goodwill 100-year anniversary shirt today, and we're getting our closet full of stuff together to give it to them, as well as our friends at Window Nation, who are about to hook me up with some new windows so I can keep the skeeters out of this joint in the studio up in the woods. We're in golf season right now. I don't know. I watched a little tennis last week. I mean, even the Orioles are making it a sporty kind of summer. But this is a big one. British Open this week. And spent a little time out at Pine Ridge a couple weeks ago with the top Tracer folks and Dave and Tom and everybody from our friends at Classic Five. And I think Ed felt left out. So we got to get down to Mount Pleasant, bring Ed Miller in here, one of our first chemo sabbies and golf pro read down. You know, the Mount Pleasant picture was behind Tom last week of the famous, you know, Jack picture and all that stuff. But you get to walk the course every day down on Northern Parkway, right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I get to relive the links on the fairway every day.
But a good summer for golf, though, right? I mean, you know, just not just at the PGA and the LIV Golf thing, but just the weather's been decent. It feels like it hasn't been so hot that you don't want to play, right?
That is correct. Absolutely. It's been a great season. Not too many rainouts. And like the previous two, Nestor, golf has definitely been busy again this year. Absolutely.
All right. Well, look, let's start with this. The range. I've been out on the range, you know, hitting balls all my life. And they now have this toy, this computer toy. And I watched and I thought about the potential because it's a couple of miles from where I live. And, you know, you guys have invested, Classic Five's invested a lot and up at Pine Ridge to go up there. But video and virtual golf, I mean, I'm assuming you're a golf guy. You've stood in one of those, you know, big black mats with fencing and hitting the ball on the computer simulator, whacking it and trying to figure out where it really would have gone. This is a whole different thing with that they put. I think it's sort of innovative for golf. And I think if you're a kid, especially growing up with it, it'll make your golf game completely different.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's great, obviously, because it's going to tell you exactly what your ball is doing as far as where it's going, the speed it's going, the launch angle, and all kinds of neat stuff. So fitting wise, it's going to help dial you into the best equipment possible for you. But at the same time, it's got a lot of games to it and more stuff to it that makes practice more fun, if that can make sense to you.
Well, there's no question about that. I saw that when I was out there, that not only can you play famous courses and do all that stuff, but to your point, if you're trying to get better, and look, man, one of the reasons I don't play golf, and you know this, is I'd have to go out there 3 or 4 days a week to ever really get any good at it, in my mind, good enough that I wouldn't be throwing the club all over the place, right? This is a chance for you to really not just say, I'm trying to hit the ball there the way you have for 50 years, which is, oh, I see the pin and, you know, I drop a little grass and see where the wind is and take a look at distance. And, you know, I know what I can do with my irons and what I can do with my woods and how far I'm going to hit the ball. Mm-hmm. But then actually seeing it. I mean, it's like baseball's like this with launch angle and all of that. It's a different science about this. And I would think it's going to change the way you teach it to some degree too, when one of your students can measure themselves and say, oh, I'm getting topspin, I'm slicing, I'm hooking, whatever those things are, that this will help add it up and make sense of it, at least in my mind. And I'm not a golfer, but I thought if I'm going to play, this is the way I'm going to do it, because I can really judge whether I'm getting better at it.
Absolutely. It's you tie this in with a little bit of video analysis with your, you know, so you can actually see it. And then the numbers don't lie. The science behind it, it absolutely will make improvement much quicker, I think. It'll make it faster. And then the neat thing about the Top Tracer is you'll actually be able to, if you open the app with it, you can actually track and store all your data so you can see your improvement. You can see kind of where you started, where you're at now. And
you see how lousy you played last Tuesday all over again.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, so you're the pro and you're giving people advice. And when they come out, is that something you would say to people once, that you would direct them there and say, go do that for an hour, spend a few bucks and work on things, because you'll see in real time what you're doing more than just as you've been doing your whole life, just what your eye can see, that there's a real measurement tool here. This has got to be invaluable for you as a teacher, I would think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, immediate feedback, numbers, hopefully, you know, they don't lie. The science behind it will tell you whether or not you're improving. And like I said, the practice parts of it make it more fun. So hopefully in the long run, practice will become more fun for everybody.
Well, it's got to be fun for you seeing somebody come in and not even know how to hold the club. And 6 months or a year later, once they fall in and show up and put the time in and everybody's out there trying to get better. Like, I don't, you can't play golf if you're not trying to get better. You lose balls. It's too dedicated a game that you can't play it passively. And I'm a competitive MFer. So like, you know, if I'm out there, I don't want to embarrass myself and lose balls. But, and part of that's having a sense of humor once you get a little older, but you do want to get better at it. And for you as a pro, run me through. Somebody comes out and they say, all right, I'm going to go over to Mount Pleasant, hang out with Ed. And I haven't picked the club up in a while. Where do you start with someone, especially an old fart like me that may have a bad back?
Well, obviously, you know, we're gonna try to educate you on the golf course itself. Let you see. That's one of the things I think most fascinating for new golfers is to see how big of a field, so to speak, that golf is on. You show up at Mount Pleasant, you realize how big it is. Then you show them all the different aspects of it. But the great thing about golf, whether you're young, old, or have some kind of physical ailments, everybody can play. Obviously, you're a competitive guy, so you know you want to play it to a certain level, but with regular golfers or regular people that I meet on a daily basis, it's nice to show them that anybody can play golf, whether you're 20, 60, 80. Obviously the level that you do it at is one thing, but you know, we'll start with the foundations, kind of talk to you about your grip, see where you are physically, and then get to show you all the benefits to golf. You know, number one, it is a physical demand. It's a good mental challenge. And then once you kind of get good at it, it is a good 4-hour escape to hopefully get out and challenge yourself to a competitive sport. Worst case, you're hanging out with people you like for 4 hours. It's just a great sport. And then usually once we kind of get you into there, that's all it takes. One or two times on the golf course and you're in.
And I've been partners with Brian Billick for a decade and a half. I've been friends with Brian. I mean, gosh, now we're going back almost 25 years, right? And Brian was a guy that made fun of golf always from the beginning. In his first bio in the St. Paul Pioneer Press, written by the late, great Don Banks, he famously said, I have no hobbies. I don't golf. I don't. And all he hosted a golf tournament over at Queenstown for many years for charity with his boating buddies over on the Eastern Shore. And I would go over there and his gangly ass 6'7" self couldn't get out of his way. You know, we were all laughing at how he would hit the ball. And I hadn't caught up with Coach too much during the plague, and he's moved out to Ohio, and he has his summer home up in Minnesota that he's had since Hard Knocks 20 years ago, since he was the offense coordinator of the Vikings. And I had him on 2 weeks ago. Unfortunately, it was when Tony Siragusa, we lost the Goose a couple weeks ago. I had Brian on, and I couldn't believe that I had a conversation with him. And I've had a few friends tell me this. Marvin Lewis has told me this, Mike Smith, Kevin Byrne, that Brian took up golf last year. Brian's 68 years old. Okay. So Brian is an athlete, you know, NFL draft pick, biker, tennis player, had a tennis court built on his home, right? Wife rides horses. He skis. He's been a lifetime skier. His wife's a ski instructor. But he had never, I've seen him swing a golf club. It was one of those things when I saw him swinging at 55, I'm like, you don't want to do this, coach. This isn't your game. Work basketball, get back on your bike, do some yoga. You know what I mean? Do something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
He told me he picked up a club for the first time last June. For the first time in his life to go out. He got lessons up in Minnesota. He played all summer. And he's now like shooting in the like upper 70s, low 80s. Like crazy. And he's playing 5 days a week. He's obsessed because he's competitive. And I just point this out because Coach is famous and he's my partner and we do this for living classrooms and all that stuff. But I often wonder when I do a relationship with somebody like you in Classy 5 and I talk about the courses around here and say, I'm 53. If you're not golfing by now, maybe you won't. Man, this is proof to me that it's never too late. That if you were an athlete to play, you know, maybe not even an athlete, but just maybe in decent shape, that if you're in your 60s, you can pick up a golf club. And I always see the senior tour and all that. And I always thought of golf as a kid as an old man's game, like literally being a kid from Dundalk. But it really it amazes me that it is that game that you can come, not tennis because of my knees, because of my shoulder, yeah. Right? I mean, I was a tennis player, but as I'm getting older, the golf thing sort of sits there. And as it becomes more accessible, even seeing this top trace, seeing kids out playing the game, mm-hmm. It's there for anybody when they want it. They can come knock on your door and spend $5 on a bucket of balls and you'll show them what they're doing, right?
Absolutely. That's probably the greatest thing about golf is, again, regardless of age, regardless of ability, we could all go out and play together. We just have to play from different tees. And that's the neat thing about golf is there are different tee boxes you can start from based on your ability, kind of where you are and how far you hit the ball. So you, myself, Coach Billick, and anybody else could go out as a foursome and play golf. We may all have to hit from different tees, but we could go out and play a game of golf together, enjoy each other's company, and still be competitive, so to speak.
Can I drink beer on the course? That's important. Okay. I just need to know if I'm allowed to have a beer on the course.
Absolutely.
Ed Miller's here. He does all things golf. Find him over at Mount Pleasant these days. Used to be Forest Park. I was up at Pine Ridge at the Top Tracer, so make sure you're checking out all of the Classic Five. You can go to Classic Five Golf to learn more about that. Look, it's open week. You know, I wanted to talk about your courses and what you're doing and regular people playing golf. And I still can't believe Billick's playing golf. Like, all the disparaging he's done of golf over 20 years, you know. It'd be like me going to an Orioles game. I might do that next week. For you, with what's happening in golf right now, boy, the PGA and this Live Golf and this Saudi blood money from these murdering MFers over there who kill journalists, which I kind of take that a little personally myself, being a guy who speaks truth. I see what's happening here, and I see what Russian money, Saudi money, Chinese money from other cultures where things don't work in the way that we want freedom to work here. But boy, this is, we say, take the politics out of sports. Ain't it taking politics out of this one for sure?
No, absolutely. This is, still a lot to wrap my head around this one myself. I've kind of been stuck in the middle on my opinion of this one, but you're absolutely right. It's not taking the politics out of this one. And it's going to be very interesting to see where this Live Tour goes over the next six events that they have this year.
But there's a part of it where our fans going to want to watch it, right? I mean, it's almost like a competitor to WWE or this goofy USFL football they're running. You know, there comes a point where, you know, I don't want to watch Hulk Hogan in the WCW. I'm just I'm a WWE fan. I'm a Major League Baseball fan, right? I'm a fan of what I'm a fan of. Everyone who's ever picked up a golf club, you and everyone else, the PGA is what you know. And the PGA has been what has grown for all of these people to create the wealth that they've created over the last 20 or 30 years, right?
That is correct. That is correct. But, you know, I would throw a little curveball at that. And I'd say, you know, there's a lot of European guys that we watch on the PGA Tour, especially over the last 20 years, that we enjoy and you know, obviously fun to watch and become fans of them as well. But the reality is they're on the PGA Tour. Why? Because there's more money on the PGA Tour than the European Tour. So in the long run, I think Live Golf would be just, you know, another competitive tour that might make the PGA Tour better. And it just gives, you know, players more options and places to play. So.
Well, if you got high def TV, this will be a fun weekend for everybody to put on the TV. And wait, have you been over to St. Andrew? Have you seen these courses? I mean, it really is. It's bucket listy even for a guy like me just to see it. But then there's the watching it and the virtual golf. We'll play a Top Tracer or, you know, Whistling Straits where Moeller caught COVID a couple weeks ago. And the courses that are sort of knockoff of it. But then there's the wind and what's actually going to happen once the tournament starts.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. The British Open for me used to always go, now just the Open, but used to always be my second favorite tournament behind the Masters. I knew it was one of them ones. I used to be able to wake up at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, start watching the first round. And like you said, the uniqueness of the golf course, the difference on television right away. If you're used to watching the PGA Tour every week, when you turn on the television Thursday, it's going to be a little curveball.
Where are all the trees? Where are the azaleas?
Yeah. Where's the green grass too? You know, it's never that green over there, it seems like. And yeah, it's pretty wild. Over 100 bunkers on this golf course and some wild bunkers too. So it's a fun tournament to watch.
Those aren't bunkers. They're like caves, right? I mean, they really are.
Some of them.
it's kind of crazy. As far as guys playing and watching it this weekend, you know, we can bet on golf now. where would you go with this weekend and how guys are playing? Because I'll say this for the field. Anybody can win any week. That's the tour at this point, right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. That's actually the neat part about the tour is any given week, anybody who catches fire is going to win. But going into this week, you know, I'd have to lean toward a couple of the big guns like a Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth always seems to play well over there in the British Open. So, and even Xander, he's pretty hot right now, two wins in a row. So you never know. It's going to be a good week, I think.
Could you stay out of the bunker over there, Ed?
Me personally, nah, there'd probably be no shot of that. I'd be in one or two, absolutely.
Down there working out of the sand. Ed Miller's joining us here. He's at Mount Pleasant. They're part of Classic 5 Golf. They are our partners. We talk about them all the time. We talk golf, obviously. Huge tournament going on this week. Over the pond. I think half my friends are in Europe. I think every one of my friends is in Greece this week, except me. I was in Greek Town last week before I went over to Costas to do the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. But I hope everybody makes their way over to Mount Pleasant. Give everybody an invitation for you. If they want to hang out with you and say, I heard Ed on the radio, I want to go get a couple lessons. I want to learn how to play. I want to meet Ed. What does one need to do to get on the course or just get on the range out of Mount Pleasant?
Well, I would just tell them, you know, classic5golf.com. Research it. Shoot me an email. Give me a call to the pro shop. Ask for Ed. I'm there all the time, especially during the season. I'd invite you out there. Let's talk some golf. Maybe go out on the putting green, chipping green, and start some practice. And, you know, before you know it, within a couple of weeks, I'd hopefully have you hooked and have you playing golf on a regular basis. Like I said, it's a great sport to be around. Absolutely.
My back wasn't hurting me. I was up Pine Ridge last week, and, you know, Dave's out there towering over, trying to turn me into a PGA golfer, and Tom's giving advice and showing everybody on the video monitor. I would highly encourage everyone that if you love golf and you've never played, if you played simulated or you've beaten the ball into a big black mat with a bunch of caging going on and whatnot, this is a totally different thing. I'd encourage everybody to get out to Pine Ridge and try that. And if you just want to hit on a beautiful day, and the weather's been great this week, mid-July. The Orioles are on the road, all-star break, all that stuff going on. Make sure you go see Ed over at Mount Pleasant. You can book your tee times at classic5golf.com. Ed, take care of yourself. Bunker in. Get up early this week. You got our morning golf, breakfast at Wimbledon last week, breakfast at St. Andrews this week. How about that, right?
Absolutely, Nestor. You are right on. Absolutely.
You got it. Ed, I appreciate you. Ed Miller joining us here from Classic 5 Golf. Our partners, I want to remind everybody, the Maryland Crab Cake Tour is going to be resurrected beginning on August 1st. We're doing 31 crab cakes and 31 breweries because I get thirsty in August. Probably going to be 31 gold watermelons as well from Wise Markets because I eat a lot of gold watermelon in August, especially when I'm out on the road. We're putting the tour together right now. We're going west. We're going east. We're going to Oakland. We're going back out to Deep Creek and certainly going to be eating some delicious crab cakes and having some political conversations and fun, too. I got a couple celebrities that have committed to joining me for a crab cake out on the tour as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Talking a little golf. Talking a little baseball around here this week and getting ready for Ravens training camp. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.